The school cafeteria is a boisterous place, but anti-hunger advocates say that for low-income kids who don't get enough to eat, the cafeteria can be a stressful place that reinforces stigma. Low-income kids can qualify for free and reduced-price meals through a federal program, but 53 of Vermont schools have a significant number of low-income students, and the entire student body, regardless of income, can get school meals without paying out of pocket. One of those schools is Johnson Elementary, where all students can get free breakfast and lunch in the school cafeteria through the community eligibility provision. Our producer, Patty Daniels, met up with the principal of Johnson Elementary at lunchtime to learn more.
The cafeteria is one of the times they can let loose, so of course the noise environment's much higher than you get in a classroom.
That's David Manning. He's been the principal at Johnson for 6 years. He's smiling as he looks around the cafeteria. There's 80 fifth and sixth graders who are eating lunch. The salad bar is stocked with bright green spinach and fresh vegetables, a lot of it locally grown. Two kinds of soup are being served. There's a hot lunch and a sandwich bar. All of these options are put out for kids, and they choose how to fill their trays. The kids don't pay cash or swipe a card. There are no financial transactions visible in this lunchroom. The kids just eat.
With our community eligibility provision, every student is free. They just keep track of an actual count for how many students eat. Students that qualify for free meals, we get a higher reimbursement rate for their meal than students who would normally be a full pay. So they are tracking it. It's just a small enough school that the lunch lady is able to track it herself. It means that regardless of income level, regardless of whether a parent has filled out an application or not filled out an application, every kid gets access to our full meals. So that's the purpose of the program, is to make sure that the kids are fed before school when they come for breakfast and fed at lunchtime.
And there's about 53 schools in Vermont, including Johnson, that qualify for that program. And to qualify, 40% of your student population has to be already receiving some kind of services that low-income families would be eligible for.
Correct. Yeah, so we last year, when this was something we went for, we were at 54% was our direct certification rate. When we ran the numbers the first time, it looked like it was going to be very likely that the school was going to have to contribute some money. We were thinking roughly $5,000, because obviously without the students that normally pay, there was no cash coming into the program. But it turned out our participation rate was so high, so many kids ate meals at school. We went from roughly 60% of the kids were eating lunch at the school hot lunch program the year before to over 80% last year, that even though some of those students come in with a lower reimbursement rate, we made enough coming in that the program paid for itself last year.
The federal government reimburses CEP schools for meals using a more generous formula than it has for schools that aren't in the program. Each school can run the calculations to predict if they might have to cover some of the costs of enrolling. But the formula has a built-in incentive. The more kids that eat school meals, the less likely it is the school will foot the bill for serving those meals.
So the real key is having an engaging program with enough exciting offerings that kids want to eat that we get the participation up. If only 60% of the kids were eating, then it would be costing taxpayers money. But because we've been over 80% pretty consistently every month, then it's able to be done through the reimbursement process without hitting the budget. We allocated some money in our budget as a safety net so that if at the end of the year the food service vendor says we owe them money because of the lower reimbursement rate, we have money allocated for it, but last year we didn't need to tap into that. And the hope again this year would be that we don't need to tap into that this year.
When the school first enrolled in it, you weren't sure if it was going to work out favorably, financially at least. Why was it worth it to take the risk on that?
Well, so this is where we have a very supportive school board. The business manager and I brought this proposal forward, and we said it could cost us money, potentially several thousand dollars. We were thinking maybe up to $5,000. And the board didn't even hesitate. They said this is a good plan for kids. Guaranteeing that every kid gets nutritious meals outweighs a few dollars. And so we didn't get pushback. We didn't get a fight. It was very well supported for the theory of we want to guarantee that kids are fed.
Manning says there are many benefits to taking cash out of the cafeteria. One is reducing stigma. When all kids get in line to eat the same lunch, none of them knows who's eligible for a subsidized meal and who isn't. And he sees other upsides to the program.
The biggest benefit I notice is that we don't ever turn anybody away for food. And in the past, we used to turn kids away. We would have kids who wouldn't be eligible for free lunch, meaning their families were expected to pay, and their families wouldn't pay. And after a certain threshold of us giving them free lunches, we would have to say no. And of course, as the principal, it was me that had to be the bad guy and tell a little kid, I'm sorry, we're not feeding you. Inevitably, what would happen then is a teacher would go pay out of their own pocket and give the kid a lunch so the kid wouldn't be hungry. And it's certainly not an 8-year-old's fault that their parents haven't been paying a balance. And yet the school is put in the position of, do we keep serving that child? Do we say no to that child? Do we offer them a cheaper alternative lunch? And not to have to do that because every child gets food is a real stress relief on multiple levels of the system. It's stress relief for the parents, for the children, for the staff. And it really makes the whole lunch environment more positive. And that tension that used to exist in certain circumstances is gone. And I think that tension could carry through for a child's whole school experience. The whole day can be shaded by, I couldn't afford to eat, or the teacher told me I owed money, or even just the fact that the parent gets the call, hey, you owe us money, and sets up that negative conversation. And so now it never happens.
Do you have any idea how much the school or individual staff members were paying out of pocket to help cover those kids that otherwise wouldn't have been eating?
My guess is it was happening more often than I was aware of. I mean, I was aware of it happening probably once a week with somebody, and my guess is it happened more than that. I just didn't get told about it. I do know that the last year that we had the old model before the community eligibility provision, we ended the year with close to $1,000 in outstanding balances for parents that hadn't paid. I think it was like $890. And that pretty typically was in the upper hundreds to close to $1,000 a year, where we would be essentially shorted money from parents not paying fees.
From the kids' perspective, what difference does it make to them?
Particularly with your older kids, every year there was older kids who knew that their parents were supposed to pay for lunch, who would come to school without an adequate lunch, and a staff member would encourage them to get lunch, and they would say no, because then you'll send a bill to my parent for $3.25, and my parent can't pay that bill. And so it's certainly those kids in that situation, the slightly over-income families, the kids where they don't get free lunch but they're not making enough money that families are happily writing checks to the school, those kids, it's a huge benefit because they simply get to eat without that whole stress of, will my mom be mad at me if I took hot lunch because she didn't pack me enough cold lunch and I'm hungry still, which was very common. You get fifth and sixth grade children who are growing rapidly. They can eat a lot more food than you might expect on any given day.
What have you noticed as far as student behavior, academic performance? Can you tell that it makes a difference?
Yeah, there's two ways we can tell it makes a difference. There's a statistical way and an anecdotal way. The statistical way, the year before we went to this program, if you take the last lunch ends at 1:15, so just an arbitrary, you take 1:15 on the rest of the day, 33% of our office referrals happened after 1:15. And this past year, when we were using the free lunch program, 26% of our office referrals happened after 1:15. So a decrease in the percentage of kids going to the office after lunchtime. I'm not sure I can prove why, but it certainly seems that guaranteeing every kid has a lunch in them has less disruptive behavior in those hours of school after lunch. All teachers will tell you that, you know, 2 to 2:30 is a difficult time to teach kids in a school, and yet we're having less disruptive behaviors. The anecdotal way is that we used to have children who would fight with us over a variety of issues. Often in the morning, they'd come in a bad space. They weren't on the free lunch list. We weren't able to just give them a lunch or a breakfast, rather, and they'd be cranky. And, you know, some staff member, again, would pay out of their pocket, or they'd have a stash of granola bars in their office or something. And now we can just go down and get that kid breakfast, and then we know the kid's fed. And so anecdotally, the staff that deal with the planning room staff, the intervention room staff that deal with kids that are having trouble will tell you that there is less of that going on. Obviously, still, kids are still getting in trouble here and misbehaving, but they will tell you that there's less of it, particularly around breakfast and lunchtime, when there isn't that issue of, is the child going to be fed or not.
Do you ever get any pushback from anywhere in the community that, you know, school's not meant to be a catering service? Why are we spending time and money on this?
So in the initial discussions when we were deciding whether to do the program or not, there were some comments along the lines of, well, so wait a minute, we're going to be providing free lunch for kids whose parents are very well off. Because, of course, like any community, we do have parents who have six-figure incomes and are quite well off, and those kids also get a free lunch. So there was some discussion of that, but once we decided to do the program, we haven't had any pushback from anybody on this issue. Yeah, I mean, we're responsible for these kids. We're essentially act as their parents for 7, 8, some kids it's up to 9 hours a day. And so we're responsible for all aspects of their care, and food being a major one.
There you go. It's good, Tucker. It's tomato basil.
That was David Manning, principal of Johnson Elementary School, talking with VPR's Patty Daniels about the federal community eligibility provision. It gives breakfast and lunch to all students in qualifying schools, and you can learn more about it at vpr.net.